Well, what causes you to be worried and anxious? We live in an anxiety-ridden world. There is no shortage of things for which to worry about. We get anxious about physical needs and our health. We worry about money and how we will pay the bills in our retirement. We worry about what others think about us, whether we are liked or not, or if we fit in. We get anxious over germs and chronic pain and cancer. We worry about the future and the unknown. We get anxious about upcoming decisions and meeting deadlines and accomplishing to-do lists. We worry about car accidents and airplane malfunctions and terrorist attacks. We experience anxiety over politics and elections and the current state of morality in our society. We worry about our children, our grandchildren, our parents, siblings, friends, loved ones. We worry about their salvation and a whole host of other things for them. We worry about wars and rumors of wars. We get anxious because Jesus tells us that his true disciples will suffer for his name's sake. We will face persecution. He tells us that he is sending us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Does that not give you anxiety? We get anxious whether we are following God's will or not, whether we are walking after him, whether we are hearing his calling and being obedient to him. We get anxious that we're not doing that. We get worried and anxious when we say to ourselves, how will I fill in the blank? And there are thousands of other things that I did not put on this list that we worry about. There is no shortage of anxiety-inducing circumstances in our lives. Every single one of us, some more than others, experience anxiety over a variety of different things every single day. We go about our day being crushed by the weight of worry and the anvil of anxiety. But Jesus offers us a way of escape, a way to escape this daily struggle with anxiety and worry. In our passage this morning in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31, Jesus tells his disciples very plainly, do not be anxious. And then he proceeds to give what I think is four reasons why we need not be anxious or worried. And so in our message this morning, we will go over these four reasons and consider some relevant applications. Now, before I begin with the first reason for not being anxious, I feel compelled to give two important disclaimers. First, I will be addressing the topic of anxiety in a broad sense, which will include both clinical anxiety as well as situational anxiety, understanding that some anxieties are more severe and crippling than others. Though I know this to be true, I won't be making that distinction throughout the sermon, but rather I will simply be addressing anxiety in a broad, all-encompassing sense. Secondly, I am not a licensed counselor, and so I will not be commenting on whether or not anxiety medication should be taken in order to treat anxiety. My goal is to give you biblical principles to combat anxiety, whether you are taking medication for it or not. So, and this sermon is in no way, shape, or form indicating that if you are on medication, that you should stop taking that medication and just apply these principles. You should never stop taking your medication without the consent and approval of your doctor. My hope and prayer is that this message would help you fight the battle of anxiety and worry, whether or not you are taking medication for it or not. And so, with those disclaimers behind us, let's go to the first reason why Jesus tells us to not worry, which is located in verses 21 and 22. And so I'm going to read those for us now. Keep your Bibles open. We will be in Luke 12 the entire time. Luke 12, looking at verses 21 and 22. I'm sorry, 22 and 23. Jesus says this, and he said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." We'll stop right there. And so Jesus' first reason, he says, do not be anxious because your life is more than food and clothing. Notice that Jesus is talking with his disciples, that is, with those who are actively following him and his teaching. All of these reasons that we're going to go over will not have much impact, will not have much weight to them if you are not one of his disciples. And so to his disciples, Jesus says in verse 22, do not be anxious about your physical needs, like food and clothing. And he tells us why in verse 23. He says, because your life is more than food and clothing. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Understand that when we are anxious and worried about something, we are preoccupied with it. And oftentimes, we can almost become obsessed over that thing. In this case, Jesus is specifically referring to worry concerning our physical needs of clothing and food. But he reminds us that life is more than food and clothing. That those things are important, but there is more to life than those. As I said from our time last week, when I quoted from John 17:3, Jesus said that eternal life, true life, is knowing God. And so true life is depending on and trusting in God. And if we are thinking about and obsessing over the things of this world, whether food or clothing or whatever, if we are so preoccupied with these things, then it is detracting us away from our time of knowing God. Worry and anxiety, goes without saying, expends energy and effort and focus. And as a result, our worry causes us to neglect spending time with that which matters most, with what life is really about, which is knowing God. And so to clarify, Jesus is not saying to not think about food and clothing Jesus is not saying to not think about food and clothing or other basic necessities at all. It is okay to concern ourselves with how we will get food and clothing. Where it becomes a problem is when prudent concern turns into crippling anxiety. When all you can think about is, where's my next meal going to be? How am I going to have the money to afford groceries? Oh no, there's a hole in my shirt. How am I going to afford a new one? And what are people going to think of me when they see these holes in my shirt? This is the mindset that Jesus is warning against. It's the sort of anxiety and worry that consumes in such a way that distracts you from concerning yourself with that which is most important in life, which is God. Worrying consumes your time and your energy so that you have little to give to the effort of knowing God. And so do not be anxious about your life, because it will detract and distract you from that which matters most, namely knowing God. That's reason number one. Let's jump a few verses to verses 25 and 26, where we will see a second reason. Luke chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. Jesus continues speaking to his disciples, and he says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" So Jesus says, do not be anxious because it accomplishes nothing. Do not be anxious because it accomplishes nothing. This is a very simple, practical reason. Anxiety does no good at all. Anxiety accomplishes nothing. Remind yourself of this over and over again. I am gaining nothing by being anxious. Being anxious is not helping me at all. Being worried and anxious does not solve your problem. In fact, on the contrary, anxiety only makes you miserable as you're trying to deal with your problems. This week, I had a number of anxiety-producing moments, and one of them being whether I was going to have the time to even write this sermon. And I began to worry and get anxious about how I was going to get it all done. But then I preached this very sermon to myself, and I have to say I did it several times this week. And I reminded myself that anxiety is not going to help me write this sermon. It's not going to put me in any sort of frame of mind that would allow me to write. My anxiety is useless. We need to understand that. Our anxiety is useless. It's only making circumstances harder than they already were. And so Jesus tells us simply and very pragmatically, do not be anxious because it accomplishes nothing. Don't waste your physical and emotional energy being anxious. That's the second reason why Jesus tells us to not be anxious. The third reason is found in the examples of nature that he invites us to consider. And oh, how wonderful this is. I've been eager to get to point three, but let me first read verses 24, 27, and 28. This is where we find Jesus' teaching on it. Luke 12, starting in verse 24. Jesus says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds?" Jumping down to verse 27, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" We'll stop right there. Now, it seems rather odd, doesn't it, to direct someone who is anxious to look at birds and flowers. I must say that if it were not for this teaching in Scripture, I don't think it would ever come to my mind to point someone who is anxious to look at birds and lilies. Are you worried about money? Look at birds. Are you worried about clothes? Look at the flowers. I would not think to make those sorts of observations and suggestions. But such is the infallible, perfect wisdom of our Lord. He tells us to not be anxious and to instead consider the birds and the flowers. And so we do. And this is what I believe Jesus intends us to see when we consider these things. Do not be anxious Because God sovereignly provides for his creation. And he most certainly will provide for you. Consider the ravens, Jesus says. They don't plant seeds or harvest crops. They don't have barns or refrigerators. Yet Jesus says, God feeds them. God feeds them. God sovereignly provides for their needs. They are not flying around anxious about whether they will get their food or not. God feeds them. Is this true? Do you believe this? Does God really feed every single creature on this planet? Or is this just some natural process that he set up thousands of years ago and he just assumes is in working order? Consider these texts from Scripture. Job 38:41. Who provides for the raven its prey when the young one cries to God for help and wander about for lack of food? Psalm 104:21. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. Psalm 104:27-28. Those all look to you, that is to God, to give them their food in due season. When you, God, give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. This is amazing. Psalm 145:15. The eye of all look to you, that is to the Lord, and you give them their food in due season. Psalm 147:9. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens their cry, that cry. Job 12:10. In his hand, in the Lord's hand, is the life of every living creature and the breath of all mankind. I mean, it is clear from the Bible that every creature is sustained, nourished, and has life because of God's sovereign provision. That's staggering. That the millions of creatures in the sea, the millions of creatures in the air, the billions of creatures that walk on the earth are all fed by, nourished by, sustained by the Lord God Almighty every minute of every day of every year. Without breaking a sweat does he do this. This is the sovereign God that we serve and love. And I was tempted, oh brothers and sisters, to give an entire sermon just on God's sovereign provision. But I constrained myself to a page and a half, okay? And so deal with my excited outbursts and come and behold our beautiful, majestic, sovereign God who feeds every living creature. Consider the raven. If the raven needs a worm to survive, God will govern the underground network of worms and will direct them to be exactly where he purposes them to be so that the raven would find it and be fed. Consider the blue whales. They eat, ready for this? Between 2,000 to 9,000 pounds of plankton every day. And every day, God commands the thousands of pounds of plankton and directs them into each mouth of each blue whale that swims in the ocean. Consider the squirrels. They're not anxious about food. They get the acorns, they bury them. They don't know where they put them. and yet God feeds and provides for them. And grows trees from the millions that they forget. God sovereignly feeds and provides for all his creation, even the voles. I know this from firsthand experience. Voles, V-O-L-E-S. Look them up. In my cute little rodent, no, they're not cute. In my garden, I had, key word, operative word, had 5 pepper plants growing, among other things. And they were growing and getting big. They were about, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet tall. They were starting to flower. And one morning, I was watering my garden, and I noticed that one of my pepper plants was gone. Like, completely gone. There was not a stem or a leaf or anything. It was as if it got raptured, for goodness sake. And as I was staring in disbelief for a minute or two, I noticed this little hole that was right near where the pepper plant used to be. And I determined that it was a vole that dug under the garden bed, ate the roots of the pepper plant, and then, and I looked this up, they do this, dragged the entire plant into its hole and back to its burrow. 3 or 4 feet! Unbelievable. Needless to say, I was not happy. And I went in to complain to Holly about this vile vermin that stole, yes, stole my pepper plant. He didn't buy it, did he? And then my very wise wife, who loves God's sovereignty and who loves sound theology, she gently drew my attention to what I had been neglecting in my anger. She said to me, "Jimmy, God provides for the birds of the air, doesn't he? He provides for all of his creation. And it seems that God sovereignly directed you to plant that pepper plant exactly where it would be. And he, God, caused it to grow, and he did so in order to provide food for that vole. You, Jimmy, were God's ordained means to provide for the vole." I don't know if I said amen when she told me. I knew she was right, but I was still not very happy about it. But I knew she was absolutely right. God provides for all of his creation, even the voles. And so consider the ravens. Consider the whales. Consider the squirrels. Consider the voles. God sovereignly provides for them. And here's the argument. If God cares for the animals, how much more will he care for you and provide for you that which he values much more than the animals? Consider the lilies and the grass, Jesus says. They don't worry about their clothing, so to speak. They are not anxious about the shape or the size or the color of their petals. They are not anxiously working and toiling and sewing their flowers together. And yet God clothes them with majesty and beauty and splendor that far exceeds one of the wealthiest kings in the history of the world, King Solomon. God sovereignly causes the flowers and the grass in the field to grow and bloom as he sovereignly intends. Psalm 104:14 says, "You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and for plants for man to cultivate." God sovereignly provides what the flowers and the grass need to grow in their splendor. And so consider the pure white lily. Consider the beautiful, intricate colors of an orchid, or the delightful smell of the orange blossom or the cherry blossom, or the deep, bold colors of the rose or the growth of the grass. Consider these things when you are anxious and see how God sovereignly provides for these plants to grow and thrive. And if God does so for the plants, then how much more will he do so for you? Jesus' remedy for anxiety is to consider God's creation. And he wants you to see that if God sovereignly provides for the birds and for the flowers, and if you are more valuable to him than those things, then how much more will he provide for you? You are more valuable than a bird because you, unlike the rest of creation, are created in God's image. You are more valuable than flowers and grass because your soul is eternal. The flowers and grass of the field are temporary. They are here today and tomorrow are thrown into the oven. The flowers will fade, the grass will wither, but your soul will continue to exist for all eternity, even after you fade, wither, and die. And so how much more valuable is your eternal soul to the momentary flower? If he clothes the flower, will he not clothe you also? And so the next time, brothers and sisters, you are feeling anxious and start to worry, take a look outside. Take a look outside your window and consider the birds. Look at the flowers. See the grass. And remind yourself that if God sovereignly provides for them, how much more will he sovereignly provide for me? Do not be anxious, because God sovereignly provides for you. That's a third reason for not being anxious. And a fourth reason Jesus gives from this passage is found in verses 29 and 30. And so let's read those verses again. Verse 29. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after those things, and your Father knows that you need them. Stop right there. Do not be anxious, Jesus says. Why? Because all the people of the world are anxious. People who don't know God are habitually worried and preoccupied about what they will eat, what they will wear, and a variety of other anxiety-inducing concerns. Jesus says, don't act like them. Do not be anxious, because you are not like the rest of the world. You are markedly different. You are set apart from the world. Your citizenship is in heaven, not this earth. And you are to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. The people of the world are anxious about worldly, physical things, because those things define their life. Their life consists of, it's identified by, they find their identity in the things that they own, or how they look, or how much money they have. And they become worried and anxious when they don't have these things. But you, brothers and sisters, are not to be anxious about these things, because you have a heavenly Father who cares. You have a heavenly Father who cares about you. The people of the world don't have God as their Father, but you do. And that changes everything. You have a father who cares for you far more than your wildest imagination. Remember, as a believer and as a genuine follower of Christ, God has adopted you as his own child. And he perfectly cares for his own, better than any earthly father cares for his own child. If I, an imperfect, sinful father, care for my kids, then how much more will our Father in heaven, who is perfect and sinless, care for the needs of his own adopted children? Listen to these passages from Scripture. Romans 8, 31 and 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Philippians 4, 19 and 20. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Don't you see, brothers and sisters? If you're a believer, then God is your Father. And he is a Father who deeply and intimately cares about you and cares for you. He is not distant, but rather he is our Father who is near and close. He is not cold and calculating, but rather he is our Father who is warm and compassionate. He is not limited in understanding, but rather he is a Father who is all-knowing and knows exactly what you need. He is not limited in his ability, but rather he is our Father who is all-powerful and is capable of performing any action he wills in order to provide for us. And so, do not be anxious, because God is your Father who cares about you. I've been reading this parenting book recently, and in it, the author is relaying a story that happened to one of his kids. His son woke up in the middle of the night having had a bad nightmare. And the author was trying to comfort his son, but the boy was just fixated on the fact that there was a monster in his closet. Even after the closet was thoroughly checked. Though his concerns were over a monster that was not real, his fear was real. It caused him real fear, real anxiety. What the son needed most was his father to hold him, to calm him down, and to remind him of what was really true. And the author wisely points out that we adults are not so different from his son. We wake up every morning to our own monsters, things that cause us real fear and anxiety. And what we desperately need every day, what we desperately need is our Heavenly Father to comfort us and remind us of the truth, namely, that he is our good Father who cares for us and loves us. And because of that, because he is our Heavenly Father, everything is going to be okay. And so the next time that you are feeling anxious, look to and cling to your Father who cares about you. Trust that he has the power, the wisdom, and the desire to care for you and for your needs. Trust that he loves you as his adopted son or daughter. True security, true rest, true comfort, true freedom from anxiety comes from the fact that God is your Father who cares for you. And so do not be anxious, because God is your Father who cares. And so, brothers and sisters, I have so much more to say on this passage. I thought that I was going to be able to cover it in 1 week, but I could not. Next week, Lord willing, we will take a look at verse 31, as well as a few things I had to skip this week, like what is the relationship between anxiety and faith? And practical objections like, what does it mean if God apparently does not provide? And so those are the teasers for next week. I hope you come back for part two. I will be addressing those next week, Lord willing. But for now, let me close with this. These four reasons from Jesus' teaching in this passage are not to be taken as mere intellectual musings. Rather, they are weapons in your arsenal to be used in your battle against anxiety. They are tools in your tool belt that you can use whenever anxiety rears its ugly head. Let me remind you briefly of these weapons or these tools again. Do not be anxious, because it will distract you from that which matters most, which is knowing God. Do not be anxious because it accomplishes nothing. Do not be anxious because God sovereignly provides for you. Do not be anxious because God is your Father who cares for you. At certain times, you will find certain tools more useful than others. Later today, you might be helped by the reminder that anxiety accomplishes nothing. But tomorrow morning, that may not work, and rather looking to the birds or reminding yourself that God is sovereignly providing for you might be the weapon you wield to attack anxiety. But Wednesday night, neither of these will work, and instead, you have to pick up the tool that God is your Father who cares for you. These are tools in your tool shed, weapons in your armory to be used in your fight against anxiety. And so look to your faithful God and Father and wield them well for his glory. Brothers and sisters, the Lord teaches today, do not be anxious. He gives us reasons of why we ought not to be. So let us commit to fighting the fight against anxiety and to come alongside, fixing our eyes upon Christ for help and hope. And let us listen to his teaching and do not be anxious. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we confess that we so often give in to anxiety and worry. Sometimes it just comes on without us even knowing. Father, forgive us and help us to fix our eyes upon you. Help us to look to our God who is sovereign and who will provide, and to look to our God as our Father who cares. Would you help us, God, to not be anxious, because you are sovereignly in control and will sovereignly provide, and you are the Father who cares for us. Fix our eyes upon you, upon knowing you and delighting in you, and help us in this battle with anxiety, we pray. We love you, our King, and we pray these things, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Thank you.